Welcome to the Monogamous Marriage Podcast. We're Kate and Liam, married bisexuals a decade into our non-monogamous journey.
We've been having sex with our friends for 10 years, and we're still madly in love with each other.
We're the authors of the Monogamous Marriage blog, where we've been overthinking sex and love since 2016. This podcast is the place where we process our sexual adventures in real time.
We are not experts, and nothing we say should be mistaken for professional advice. This show contains mature language and sexual content, so if you're under 18, it isn't for you. But if you're a fellow overthinker and you're not freaked out by unfiltered conversation, you're going to feel right at home.
I feel like the lifestyle is predicated on a very simple arithmetic, 2 plus 2. One couple meets another couple and decides to have an intimate experience with them. And maybe they full swap, or maybe they soft swap, or they come up with some other variation. But that's the basic foundation of the lifestyle.
Yes, but only if your definition of the lifestyle is narrowly defined by this swinger world. So swingers tend to operate in couples and they play together, swap together. So yes, there is this 2 plus 2 equals 4 kind of equation. But in other places where there are relational differences that might also use the term lifestyle, you might find different kinds of math.
Okay. Well, let's say the kind of lifestyle that we have pursued is definitely built on couples finding other couples.
Sure.
And while that was the foundational experience of our non-monogamy, we have really moved away from that. I, at this moment, cannot remember the last time we had a two-on-two date with another couple. Can you?
A year and a half ago.
You barely even know who you're talking about, do you? It's certainly a rarity in a way that it wasn't before. And what has replaced it is something that I can only use the old-fashioned word of orgy for. It happens at parties, whether it's a party we throw, a party that someone else throws, or an event that we're part of, a hotel takeover, a resort takeover. But we're always having sex now in groups of 6 and 8 and 10 people. Am I right about that?
Yeah. So the subject of this podcast is orgies.
Yeah,
and how is this different, Liam, from our previous podcast on group versus solo play? Because I would guess group encompasses orgies.
Yes. But it was really about drawing the distinction between playing with multiple partners and having a one-on-one experience. And this is very different. Now we're making a contrast between that small group experience with a larger group. And so I would say, if we assign letters, the first podcast was the difference between A and B, and this podcast is the difference between B and C.
So we're just expanding the circle out.
Yes.
All right. So this brings us to one of the hotly debated topics in the lifestyle, which is how many people have to be involved in order to constitute an orgy.
I know. I've been involved in that conversation a surprising number of times because it's one of those fun things to discuss for which there is no right answer. Do you have an answer in your head?
I think 6 or more. But I mean, there is a word. There's a 6-some.
Right.
4-some, 6-some. And then beyond that, you don't say 8-some, 10-some. Right?
So, though you could.
So maybe once we run out of terms, then we just have to give the blanket term orgy. So anything beyond 6?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually think it's 5. As soon as you break the 2-on-2 paradigm with that one extra person, all the math gets more complicated. But okay, it actually doesn't matter. We know that what we've been involved in is fairly large groups. In fact, there are 2 situations that we have participated in lately that we're going to talk about in this podcast to kind of explore the issue. The first was a party at our house for New Year's where we were the hosts. The second was a party just this past weekend, 3 days ago, in the city of Detroit, where we were guests.
Yes. So let's go back to our New Year's Eve party. We had contemplated having a big party. So traditionally, our parties have 25 to 42 kind of people. And that's a big group. It's impossible to have sex with all of those people, even though I have tried.
Yes, you
have. And sometimes it even feels impossible to talk to all of those people, mm-hmm, in any kind of meaningful way other than, hi, welcome. So we decided we wanted to do something more intimate. And we had tried this 2 years ago for New Year's Eve. We had three couples come for a total of 8 people. And we had a private chef and we made a weekend of it. And I thought, I want to follow that model, but maybe, again, expand the circle, have a couple more couples. And so we invited 5 couples.
No. Yes.
So we had 5 couples total. And then we had 2 additional couples come in for the evening of New Year's. So it was a whole weekend. I created an itinerary, which, you know, I have a bit of a research kink. So this was fun for me. And we had people come in and stay at our home. A couple people flew in for this. Others drove many hours to get here. And they all congregated at our place. So the first night we went out downtown and had a lovely meal at a great restaurant. And then we went to Oasis, which is the downtown water-based sex club in Toronto.
Okay, so we should describe that for the many, many people who will not know about Oasis Aqua Lounge. It's a very different kind of sex club that we're lucky to have in Toronto. It's kind of built on a spa model. So there is a large pool, there is a hot tub, there's a sauna, there is not really a dance floor, but there are lots and lots of play spaces. And it's different in the sense that it's open from noon until the wee hours of the morning, meaning that you can come, spend the day by the pool, flirt, have sex if you want, go out for dinner, and then come back later. So not the usual sex club model of dance, 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 dance for 2 hours, and then fuck, 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 fuck for 2 hours, and then go home. And I really like the club for that reason. So I thought it was a great choice on your part to make that the location for night one of our New Year's Eve get-together.
Yeah, the objective was to get these people together. And it's always tricky when you're putting together a guest list because it's not just my 10 most favorite people.
Right.
Obviously, we want to have people we like there. But we're really thinking about curating a group of people who are like-minded, who would have similar style sexually, who have similar intellectual interests. So we are working hard as we plan these groups to put together people who we think would get along well. But these people didn't all know each other. So the first night was all about getting to know you. Right. So as we sat around that big table at dinner, we had lots of opportunity for conversation. And then when we went to the club, my thought was, I don't want to go to a pounding bass dance club because we can't get to know each other there. But we went to a quiet, everybody stands in a hot pool outside and talks for a couple hours kind of sex club.
Right.
So there was the potential, if we were feeling it, to go upstairs and have sex. But there was also just the potential to continue the conversation we had started at dinner and get comfortable with each other so that when the next night came and there was an orgy, everybody would feel like they knew the other people involved.
Right. So how did you feel that worked out? You obviously had a vision for what that evening would be like as a precursor, so to speak, for the main event at our house the night later. So how was Oasis Aqua Lounge as a setting for you?
Well, it was definitely better in the ways I had hoped it would be better. So It was quieter. Our group stood together in the pool, which is chest height, in first one big circle and then 2 smaller, more manageable circles, and just continued to talk. So we stood out there, and even though it's a Canadian winter scene, they heat the pool to about 100 degrees. So we stood out there for well over an hour. Right. We had a couple drinks, we talked, we were all naked, so we were getting used to being naked together. And there was one couple that was brand new. They haven't actually had any swapping experiences yet. And they didn't know the group. They were the newest addition. So it was really important to me that they had an opportunity to catch up and get to know these people that knew each other before. So for that part, it was great. But we did decide to go upstairs and have sex. And that part was less great.
Why?
Well, because it was really crowded. So it was January 30th, the night before New Year's Eve. Everybody was off work. It was a Saturday night, and it was very crowded. It was couples only. At least we didn't have those lurking single guys, which can sometimes be a problem at Oasis. But it was really hard to find any real estate for sex.
Right.
So our group of 10 people, it was a challenge for us to all get a spot together. There was a place that had kind of like, I guess kind of 3 twin size mattresses worth of space on this big bed area.
Yeah, 3 vinyl coated sex club mattresses.
Yeah, yeah. And 2 out of those 3 spots were occupied. There was 1 little twin size space open. And I said to the group, we're going to take over this space and gradually edge out those other people. So as they leave, we're going to scooch over and claim the space.
Like an invasive species.
Exactly. So we did that and actually worked out well. But it was a lot. It was overwhelming because there were so many people around us. Not only were there other people on the other beds having sex, there were lots of people standing in the doorway watching.
Right. And why were they watching us?
Because we were hot as fuck.
We're as hot as fuck, which is a very good point. Because the men were engaging in byplay. And although Oasis is the most open-minded club in the GTA, they have specific nights for trans people and bi people. It is still not something you regularly see there.
Right.
So that really caught some attention.
Yeah, for sure. I think you started right up with that, didn't you?
I don't know. There were some serious bi players in our group, so I may not have been first.
I feel like you were instrumental in getting it started. But anyway, yeah, one of our friends was sitting up on the edge. So because of the very small amount of real estate, he's kind of sitting on the arm of the sofa kind of thing, even though it wasn't a sofa. And someone just launched right in, another male, to sucking his cock. And that's how the whole thing started. And so, yes, we were definitely attracting attention. And at one point, I was standing up because there wasn't enough room for me to lie down. And I was hugging and kissing one of our friends, and I noticed he was trembling. And I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "I'm feeling kind of anxious." They had been to Oasis one time before, but it was very quiet. They came like on a Tuesday afternoon or something. And I don't think they had a lot of other group or club type experiences. So he was feeling anxious. And I just held him close and said, "Let's take some deep breaths together." Mm-hmm. And just to help him calm down, because it was a lot. And so I was feeling for the new people. You know, it's an experience that you should have for sure, but it's not an optimal experience.
You're saying the sex club experience is an experience everyone should have, or that specific club?
No, not that specific club. Just having sex in public, being very aware that there are other people who are having sex around you and who are watching you, that, you know, being a voyeur or an exhibitionist, that's very hot for a lot of people. I think you should try it. I like putting on a good show, but it's very distracting. I am never going to come in that setting.
Right. Yeah, putting on a good show is a pleasure in itself, but it is not the best way to have your best sexual experience, that's for sure.
So give me one of the highlights or the things you remember from that night.
From that night, I remember being on that bed that you were talking about, and I just liked the byplay. I liked that we were being open, because this has happened so much within our friend group in party situations. And it's wonderful because when we first got into the lifestyle, that never happened. But it is a whole other level to be comfortable enough to do that in public. And now this is a very friendly environment for that kind of thing, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's not like we were doing it in hostile territory. But you're very aware that no one else is doing this. Mm-hmm. It's super hetero. And so I think that was my highlight, because I couldn't.
Wait, you haven't said anything specific yet. What was your highlight?
No, but it's the general involvement of, I think, all the men or most of the men in our group in that way.
I mean, part of the curation was that of those five couples, every single person was not just bi-curious, but confirmed bisexual.
Right. Yeah. And so I found that to be very satisfying. But there was no way to have truly authentic sexual experience there, because at least for me, there was so much distraction in the environment. It was crowded. You have to think about, with every move you make, the implications for the space you're able to occupy or preserve, because if you pull that elbow in, that spot might be taken by someone else and you can't put your elbow back there for another 10 minutes.
Yeah. One of my highlights that I wasn't even involved in, I just witnessed, was a tower that was made out of necessity because we had such little space. But let's see. One friend was sitting down and his wife was between his legs getting fucked, and she was doing the motion. So she was pushing back into him. And then another friend was standing over her, straddling her, and putting his cock into this guy's mouth. Right. So the guy's getting his cock fucked by his wife, and he is sucking cock at the same time. And everybody else was doing the movement. He was just sitting still because his back was up against the wall, so he couldn't really move much. And I remember watching that. I think there was some other stuff going on, like other people touching or licking or whatever, and just feeling like, yeah, like we are the stars of this room. Look what's happening over here. Because it just looks so sexy. And yeah, it was just kind of physically dominating the space. It was very hot. I hardly remember what I did that night. I'm sure I fucked some people, but I don't remember.
Yeah, do I remember you doing much of that? I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at least two guys fucked me that night.
So for you, that's a very low number.
Yeah. But I made up for it the next night.
And it was part of setting the stage for the next night and just creating a contrast to different kinds of experiences.
So that next day was kind of a quiet, loungy day. We started with brunch late in the morning, and then we just had a sit around the house. Some people did massages. The sauna was on. I don't know if anyone used it. And we made some videos because two of the other couples have OnlyFans accounts. And so that was great because it was so fluid and easy. We were all there in the house together. We all love each other. Like at this point, this friend group is very tight. And to be able to make videos for OnlyFans, which, you know, a lot of people will turn their nose up at, like, ugh, you make porn. But it was just, I was having sex with these people I love.
Right.
And it was so fun to move from me and this other woman in one setting. And we were playing, you know, lingerie and putting things on. And we just naturally started having sex because that's what we do. And then we brought in another friend and he started having sex with the two of us. And then we went downstairs and there were more friends there and we had sex with them. And you just followed us around with the camera.
Yeah, it was best so day of fun. My life.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably the best OnlyFans content creation day I've had so far. It's just so fluid and great.
Because I was documenting something authentic that was happening between the people that were gathered there. So it was easy for me to just pick my spots because there was always something great going on because there was so much positive energy in the space. And it was such a turn on. So I think people often think that, you know, OnlyFans or any other kind of sexual content creation is the best way to kill a sexual vibe. Like now you've turned your pleasure into work. But I've found it the opposite so far. I find the process of making that material for an audience to be an unexpected turn on.
So we had the five couples in the house. At one point, some people put out a bunch of charcuterie. Two of the couples said, we'll be in charge of the charcuterie. So not only did they buy it and bring it, they also set it all out and cleaned it all up. So that for me was such a lovely gift as a host. And then the thing I asked of people when they said, what can we bring, was I want each couple to bring the ingredients for a cocktail. At some point when it feels appropriate, you make your cocktail and bring it around for everybody. So that would alleviate some of the expense of having to stock a full bar. But also I thought it would allow each couple to bring in their own creative juices. So at different times throughout the weekend, cocktails would just appear because a couple had decided now is our time. And I loved it. I didn't have to think about it. People were really creative and did a great job with that.
Right.
Then I made dinner, a sit-down dinner. So not only did we have our 10 resident people, we also had two additional couples come for dinner for New Year's Eve.
Who are local.
So I was cooking a sit-down dinner for 14 people, which is biggest crowd I've ever served a plated meal to. And it was pretty high stress. Do you have any thoughts from that part of the evening? Were you having conversations or making connections that would help set you up for the evening orgy?
Well, I felt already so close to all the couples that we had invited. I wasn't building that kind of foundation. But I was just definitely enjoying the conversation. And I often find myself in moments like that, just kind of reveling in the joy of the relationships that we've built. And part of that is always wishing other people could see. Like anyone who might misunderstand what the lifestyle is about, I would love for you to see this. However generous you might be in your assumptions, you can't touch what the reality is like. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I love, is that you can't have the crazy orgy that happened later in the night without this part, this milling around, talking, laughing, sharing stories about your kids and your jobs and silly things that have happened in your lifestyle journey. All of that stuff is laying the foundation for the ease that comes later at the best orgies.
Right.
And a highlight for me during that period was one of our brand new guests. So we had just met them a couple weeks before at PCAP, mm-hmm. and we connected in fairly short conversation right toward the end of the weekend. And I said, you guys would be great. You've got to come to our New Year's Eve party. But we didn't know them well. And he is an amateur chef who really stepped up and helped me. He could see, even though I was trying my best to keep it under control, I was stressed out during this plated meal. So he just stepped in and very competently and very smoothly became my sous chef. And he was so helpful and so reassuring. I could ask him things and he would just know the answer. And I could say, do this. And he would know what it was I was asking of him. And it was wonderful. This very vanilla interaction in the kitchen made me feel so warm toward him and so much more familiar, so that when the orgy happened, I was very happy to be naked with him.
So if you say, how do you think you build a sexual connection in the lifestyle? Well, people will talk about your flirting game or having the confidence to ask for what you want or working on your body so that you cut a good figure on the dance floor or dressing just so. No one would say coming to the rescue with helpful hints in meal preparation.
Right.
But that's exactly how he did it with you.
Yeah. Well, that's how attraction happens in real life, right?
Yes.
So there might be a visual component initially where you see someone and think, ooh, they're cute, but it never ends there, right? Right. You have to build a connection that's based on all kinds of little things. And so that was happening throughout the day mm-hmm. in lots of lovely little
right.
ways. After dinner, we wasted no time in turning on all the lights downstairs, and we had our basement, as we usually do for our sex parties, set up in kind of sex club way. We've got three different areas and each of them has a slightly different feel. But there was one addition that was new for this party. I always try to put something new in the party.
Mm-hmm.
And that was?
The Sultan's tent.
The Sultan's tent.
And we had done that outdoors in the summer. And it was such an unexpected hit that you immediately thought, how can I recreate that during the coldest night of the year inside?
Right. Well, it wasn't even my idea. So we were talking about the party in our little chat group in advance. And I asked people, do you have any requests for the evening? And somebody said, indoor Sultan's tent.
Okay.
And I just laughed it off. They thought they were joking too, but then it got my brain whirring and my Amazon Wayfair shopping at 3 a.m. juices flowing. Mm-hmm. So if you aren't aware, in the summer, we set our gazebo up like a Sultan's tent where we had drapey curtains and lots of different blankets and pillows on the ground. And it became the nexus of all of the sexual fun that night. So I wanted to recreate that. I found this mesh mosquito netting kind of thing that we could hang from the ceiling. And we created this kind of magical little space with the blankets and the cushions and the lights. And I was proud of that little detail.
Right. So this is an episode about orgies. We should talk about the orgy.
How about some sex, guys?
Yeah.
So in that Sultan's tent, lots of people were getting fucked, but there was a particular moment where our friend Dominic mm-hmm. was having sex with me, mm-hmm. as he frequently does.
Yes.
And our friend Mrs. Honeyspoon ran over and said, you have to stop right now. Come see this, Kate. And she literally pulled Dominic out of my pussy and yanked me up.
She's very strong.
To run into the other room. She's little but mighty. Because in the other room, something magical was happening. Did yes. you see it?
I did not see it. I only heard about it.
I saw the tail end. There were two men having penetrative sex together. Right. And that was a first for them. It was a first for our parties. And it was so exciting. Every woman, especially in the room, was just like rubbing their hands with glee. We were so excited, so turned on by this. And, you know, the fact that Mrs. Honeyspoon had to pull a cock out of me to get me into the other room to watch is just indicative of all of our levels of excitement around this.
Right. Yeah. No, she knew that you would love that because no one is a bigger booster of male bisexual play than you are.
Yeah. It was hot.
Yes.
And for me, it's not even the sexual act so much as the freedom and comfort. I love that we've fostered that kind of community and that we've provided a space where people feel safe enough, not just to explore that, but to explore it with an audience.
Right. Yeah. So for me, my experience was very different. Very typical for me at my best, which was I was able to have great one-on-one experiences with four of the women that were there. So what did that involve? It was mainly just me finding some horizontal time, cuddling with them, talking. So talking is a big part of it for me. So just talking about this and that, and that just flowing seamlessly into sex, and then out of sex into more talking. So that of the four women, I'm not entirely sure which ones I had penetrative sex with. I remember the four women very specifically and how great the times were, but only two of them I'm sure I had sex with. But I might have had sex with all four, or maybe just three, or maybe just the two.
Well, that's it, right? Sex is backgrounded. It's about connection and energy exchange. It's about feeling close and sharing. And if a dick happens to go into a vagina, cool, that's great. But our style of swinging, and I feel like that's a cheap word for what we do. Our style of connecting with our friends is this whole FWB, friendship without boundaries, where we can lie together naked and snuggle and talk and share. And, oh, I feel like putting that cock into me right now for a little bit and a few thrusts. And then we can go back to laughing and joking and being silly. And it's just this beautiful freedom. And it was assisted for me by the fact that I took some MDMA for the first time at one of my parties. Mm-hmm. And a few of our guests partook of that as well. And was just the little extra spice I needed to feel extra lovey and connected with these people who I already felt very comfortable with. And most of them, I just feel like these are my people. I feel so in love with this little community we've made. And that M experience just heightened it. The fact that I was able to experience that with these friends, some of whom were doing it for the first time, it was just so lovely for me. So one of the things that stands out is we were in the dungeon space. I was with Jason and Skylar, and the three of us had just merged into one being. Mm. We were all intertwined and smooshed together. He was in my pussy. And we were talking and touching each other's faces. And anyway, it was so lovely. And you came in at one point and grabbed the phone because we're all content creators. And you started filming. We didn't even know. Right. I found that on the phone later. Here's this lovely 10-minute video of me.
I would love if there was a technology. There probably is now. There definitely will be in the future. We put just a little tracking device on each individual to map out on a schematic of our basement. Who moved where, when, who coupled with who, or tripled, or whatever.
I would love that for myself, because the details all smushed together for me.
Yeah, but it was incredible, because that's really what makes it an orgy. If there are eight people there, and then it's just musical chairs, and everyone finds a partner and has sex, that's kind of like four times two. It's not really that full fluid interaction, but people just kept finding their way into different situations. Mm. So you'd look into a room and go, oh, there's those two together, or there's those four together. Mm-hmm. And then half an hour later, it would be all the pieces were completely jumbled up and spilled out in a different order.
Yeah, you said fluid interaction. That reminded me of a squirting episode.
Oh, okay.
Where a friend of ours, she's a woman who was married to a woman for 12 years. So she's got lots of lesbian street cred. She and I were together and we were sharing my double-ended rabbit, which is very fun dildo that's like in the shape of a U. So each woman can get penetrated with a vibrating end. Mm-hmm. But there are also two little rabbit ears that vibrate on your clit between you. So she was on top of me, riding me with this thing in both of us. And she came so hard. And I felt like moisture coming down my legs. I wasn't sure if it was just me because I was so wet. But she had squirted down both of us. And it was really sexy.
Right.
And all of that was happening while her husband was over with another one of our friends having guy-on-guy time.
Right.
To look over and see that happening while I'm so engaged with this woman. And yeah, it was just so sexy.
Right. So that's basically the description in a nutshell of what we did on that night.
But wait, in the past, you have talked about how you are a solo play guy and I am the group play girl.
Okay.
How was your experience of this night? being the solo guy.
Right. Yeah. Well, I definitely found that I was able to have solo moments. So I don't think I was ever a part, although I may have been, of some 3 or 4 participant action that was happening somewhere. I basically had my one-on-one moments within the context of this orgy, but with different people that made me feel like I was fully participating and not just creating a little intense bubble of two at any time.
Can we acknowledge that, I don't know, a year and a half ago, Kate over here said, you can create that one-on-one experience you want in an orgy, and you protested. But look, you did it.
Yes.
Oh, he's not even going to let me have this victory. Okay, people, write in and say, I remember.
No, because they will also remember me saying, I just didn't want that to be my sole diet. I also wanted to have some one-on-one experiences. Sure. Okay. So, but I am not in any way denigrating what happened or your ability to see what could be a way for me to enjoy a larger group experience. So I give you full credit for that.
What was the difference maker here? Why was this a success for you, where in the past maybe it was hard for you to find a way in?
I have never been surrounded by so many women who were unambiguously interested in spending time with me sexually. Hmm. So it's not that it might not have happened in the past. I was just not aware of it.
Sure.
And my eyes are open to that more now than they ever have been in the past.
Great. Okay.
So that was orgy number one in our 2-part orgy exploration. We're going to be back after this message with a second experience where we weren't the hosts, but the guests. As you may know, Kate started a travel company in 2023 committed to organizing a different kind of lifestyle experience based on bringing small groups of non-monogamous couples to European destinations of cultural and historical interest.
Yeah, so for us, we enjoy the big hotel takeovers and the resorts, but we were looking for a different way to do lifestyle travel. And for us, the most important thing is making connections with other people. And it can be hard when you're screaming at each other drunkenly over bass music.
Right.
So we conceived of a way to bring together our two loves, the lifestyle and that community, and travel to interesting places. And so last year we took our first trip to Crete and it was an amazing success. Mm-hmm. And so this year we're going back to Crete, June 8th to 15th. And we have 3 luxury adjoining villas. We've got reservations at all kinds of beautiful restaurants and excursions planned. We have a private yacht booked for one day.
I know, it's amazing.
I'm so excited about that. So that's coming up in June. And then following shortly after that, we're going to Italy. We're going to be in Tuscany from August 17th to 24th. We have booked this big, gorgeous Medici villa just outside of Pisa. And again, we've got chefs coming in to prepare meals for us and doing cooking classes. And we're doing excursions to Florence. And you're going to do an art tour. And I'm super excited about that too. So if that sounds like your kind of trip, you can find out about those trips, which are unfortunately both full, but we will be hosting more trips in the future. So if you want to be the first to hear about those new trips as they are launched, go to www.sapiotours.com and you can get on our mailing list and you can hear about our trips as they are announced.
And now back to the Monogamous Marriage Podcast. It was barely 2 weeks later that we went to the city of Detroit, to the home of Jason and Skylar, who were guests at our New Year's Eve party, for their special weekend getaway that was built around a Schwitz party. So if you're saying, what's that vaguely obscene word? Schwitz, S-C-H-V-I-T-Z. It's a very old school bathhouse, I guess you would call it, with saunas, wet and dry, with cold plunge pools, but very, very retro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's this super cool place that you can privatize for the afternoon.
So our hosts, Jason and Skylar, had rented this facility for an entire afternoon on Saturday. So the get-together was built around that special event.
There were 5 couples again. 3 of whom were staying in the house with Jason and Skylar, and then they also own an Airbnb, so the 2 other couples were staying around the corner. And That was the core group, same size as our group. So once everyone had arrived and we'd all been fed, we had some cocktails and we had our circle of consent. So this is another thing that we do at these smaller gatherings. And it's something that you can't really accomplish in a larger party. Everyone gets to express what they would like and what they would not like to have happen that night. So it's a wonderful time of sharing where people can say, here's what I'm into. Here's maybe a fantasy I'd like to fulfill tonight in this setting, but here's what I'm really not into or what I'm unsure of.
Right.
So it's great. And it makes everybody feel comfortable and heard. And because it's a small group, you can actually remember what the person said.
Right. Yeah. So many of the couples said, I'm willing to do anything with anyone. So that seems simple, but there might be but no fingers inside because that doesn't work for me. Or don't pull my hair. Or I like light spanking, but nothing beyond that. So it allows you to kind of avoid that wondering, will this be welcome or will it not be?
I was hoping we were going to have sex that night. But as the circle went around, I started to realize, oh, this is taking a long time. Because it wasn't a very quick, we're all in our lingerie, ready for sex kind of circle,
right,
which we've been in before, uh-huh, where people just kind of go around really fast and say, don't do this, don't do that. Uh-huh. This was a sharing circle. So it took well over an hour for us to get around all 10 people.
Partly because the conversations that came out of those expressions of interest or disinterest were so fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. And that's part of that lovely ground laying that we were talking about earlier, uh-huh, where it's not just about the getting down to fuck. It's about all of those connections that happen and make you feel comfortable. And so as the circle went around, my hope was dwindling.
Right.
Because I thought initially, oh, circle of consent, that means we're going to have sex. And I got excited. And then it was taking a long time. And I realized we're all going to just go to sleep because it's midnight now.
Yeah. And my feelings were the opposite. Because it was a travel day, I was so tired by that time of the night. I was praying that there would be no sex. So for better or for worse, my prayers came true.
But that was fine because we had lots of great sex the next day. So the next morning, we went back to their house and had breakfast with them. And then we did one of our two big feature outings.
Right.
We went to Motown, yes. Hitsville, USA.
Yes, specifically the house where Berry Gordy installed the first recording studio for the Motown recording empire centered on Detroit. So many great stars had their start there that it's unbelievable. And to go into that space. Now, I'm a musician who's been in recording studios, so it was wonderful for me. But I think everyone was moved just to realize how humble the space was. If you know the great Motown hits like Mr. Postman or Dancing in the Streets or Baby Love or any of the Temptations hits or Stevie Wonder or
Jackson 5, Marvin Gaye.
To realize all that magic happened in this very humble looking space with just crude adaptations to make the acoustics just right. It was just wonderful and actually very moving.
Yeah, we were all geeking out. It was fantastic. And what a wonderful way to get to know each other, right? So we were not spending that time talking to each other, but we were all having the same moving experience.
Right.
And that, I think, brings people together in a magical kind of way.
Yes, I agree.
And at one point, Locke of Living the Sweet Life, he grew up on the milk of the Temptations.
Right.
And so there's this echo chamber where they've got an area of the second floor that's open to the attic.
Yeah, what they used to do for reverb before electronic units came into production was that there was an actual room with a speaker at one end and a mic at the other, and they would pump whatever track they were trying to apply the reverb to into that room, pick it up with the mic and bring it back. So a very natural, not a simulated digital echo, and then mix it in with the original signal to get just the right sound.
Yeah, so Locke had this amazing experience of being able to stand under that echo chamber and sing a Temptation song into the abyss. And we got a little clandestine recording because you're not supposed to record in there. Yeah. But he was able to show that to his mom and it brought his mom to tears. And yeah, it was just a wonderful moment.
And he has a way with the song, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. Mm. He sounded good.
Yeah, he did. And at the end, they finished the tour where we all were in the studio clapping and singing together. And yeah, I think everybody had goosebumps. So we went from there to a restaurant for lunch. And then we went and got our stuff for the spa and went to the Schwitz and had 4 hours of blissful steam room and cold pool and connecting over food and drinks. And it was just really lovely.
Yeah, and that was a broader group. So our 10 were added to with other people from the local lifestyle or non-monogamous community. And so it was great to meet them. We've been to a previous event there put on by Jason and Skylar. And so some of the people we recognized from the last time. And so we're beginning to build some familiarity with them. So it's great to have those connections, not just with another set of people, but with another community, another city.
So after that, we all kind of staggered our way back to the house. And we were the last to show up because you had to have a shower and shave. And we got in the house and everybody was already in their lingerie lying on the mattresses they had set up. So they used their main floor in a similar way to how we use our basement, which was they had three different areas that they created sexual spaces in. So they had two air mattresses in front of their fireplace in the living room, another air mattress in their study, and then our massage table in their sex swing in their dining room,
right,
with all kinds of toys laid out on their dining room table. So it was just a smorgasbord of deliciousness between the people in their lingerie and all of the different areas and toys. And it was just the beginning of a wonderful evening.
And again, just like at our house 2 weeks earlier, all the combinations and permutations possible within a group of people just kind of played out very organically.
Yeah. So for me, the evening started with that former lesbian friend approaching me, and we were kissing, and she's so yummy. And beside us, as she was riding me or I was riding her, somebody was riding someone else, I kept looking over because Jason was beside us having this really intense sensory play session. So he was on, I think, even the same air mattress as us with his blindfold on. And Trist was using all these sensory toys on him. So the Wartenberg wheel, which is this like pokey little pizza cutter type wheel that she was running up and down different areas of his body. And she was using Flogger, and she had bought a paddle. Oh, another thing we did was we went to that leather sex store.
Right. That was a lot of fun.
That was so fun. And everybody bought something fun to bring to the orgy that night. So that was another part of our afternoon. So she had bought a paddle with like spikes on it.
Yikes.
So yeah. So with his blindfold on and all of these people touching him, someone was sucking his cock, someone else was rubbing his shoulders, and Trist was using all of these implements on him, Jason was just out of his mind. And so I'm there with this beautiful woman riding me, looking over and occasionally touching him. And then I got up on my knees so I could eat her pussy. And then someone else came in and was fucking me from behind. And it's just that kind of group where I don't even care who that is fucking me. I'm just very happy to have a hard cock in me while I'm so turned on eating this pussy, watching this action.
Right.
And that's the kind of flow we had that night. And at one point, Jason's cock became available because someone else had been sucking it. I grabbed some champagne and put it in my mouth and did the whole blowjob with champagne in my mouth. Okay. And he gasped and everybody laughed because someone else had been sucking his cock. So I guess when he felt his cock being picked up, that's what he expected. And it was a different sensation. So again, he can be there in the middle of all of this, completely blindfolded, completely trusting, and anybody can come and suck his cock and it's fine. It's safe and welcome.
Right.
Oh, there were so many good things. What was one of your highlights?
I had a lot of bi experience that night, actually.
Yes, there was a lot of bi play.
And that had been discussed in the Circle of Consent, so we knew where everyone stood. And everyone was not on the same footing in that regard, which was A-okay, because you don't want to take a chance with someone for whom it might be unwelcome, even though no one was particularly troubled about it. It was just like some people had a large preference for it. Some people were just, you know, tolerant of incidental contact, as they like to say. So that was a big highlight for me, those experiences with guys there.
Giving or receiving?
I did both. And I think for a lot of bi guys, it's the giving.
So you want to suck the cock.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it.
Because you all just want to suck your own cocks, really.
Because the gateway to buy play is always someone saying, hey, if it's a guy sucking your cock, if your eyes were closed, would you really be able to tell it wasn't a woman? So the idea is supposed to be, oh, well, yeah, that's okay. I could do that because I accept it from a woman. But that's usually not what turns on guys who are interested in buy play. They want to do the giving, which is maybe counterintuitive, but you see it over and over. So that's definitely the thing that interests me more. But also feeling like I can be part of someone's fantasy experience. Mm-hmm. And in a setting like that, no one person is going to be 100% of someone else's fantasy experience. You're looking to say, hey, can I get an assist on that one? Mm-hmm. I don't need to score the goal. I just need to get an assist. And so that was, I think, a great pleasure for me on that evening, though I had great interactions with women there too. And again, kind of lost track of where my penis was with whom at any given time.
Yeah. I know that 4 of the 5 men penetrated me. And I played a little bit, at least, with everyone.
Right.
But don't be better.
Yes, that's definitely. Well done.
So yeah, I shopped around. I had so many good experiences. At one point, I had been riding Jason on the couch. So after he got out of his sensory play situation, he just sat on the couch and, you know, I guess it was cooling off. But he still had a hard cock, so I came over and said, hey, I ride that. So I got on him and rode him for a long time and went over, when I was done with him, to his wife, Skylar, who was getting fucked by Locke. And I was just whispering in her ear, like, your husband just had his big cock in me. It was so good. He filled me up. And because I know she loves the dirty download. That's right. Her whole thing. She sends her husband out to have sex just so she can hear the stories. So I knew that about her. And I was able to go and whisper in her ear and give her all this dirty talk, talking about I was fucking his big cock. And she came as he was fucking her. And I was telling her these dirty stories. So yeah, that was really fun. And it was because of the familiarity I have with her that I knew this is a big turn on for her. So I could give that assist in the moment. Mm-hmm. What else? Oh, I was on the bed in the study and I looked over. It looked like you were the base layer for a DP.
Oh, yeah.
Did that happen?
It was definitely attempted.
You can't remember if you actually got in there?
You know, the problem is, dear listener, we also had a bit of an orgy last night too, which we are not weeknight orgy people or even twice a month orgy people, but there you have it.
So two now, orgies in 3 days.
Yeah. And so now they're all blending together. So
you tried a DP yesterday and were not successful.
So I may be just copying and pasting that into the weekend experience.
Yeah. But from where I was sitting, you know, it's always hard to tell with DP. I don't know if you know, but when you're in an orgy and a DP's happening, it's hard to tell. Is she just hot dogging you?
Right.
And is he actually going in her ass or is he going in her pussy? Anyway, from the side, there were a few of us on the bed who were all playing, but we were also watching you. And I'm like, what's happening? Are they doing a DP over there? Is he in her ass? Oh my God, is he in her pussy? So there's that kind of fun little like sideline commentating happening as well.
Yeah. Can I also mention too, one of my great pleasures in an orgy situation is having sex with you.
Yeah, we had a lot of good sex in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah, you made me come so hard.
Yes. Well, I feel like that's my job because
it is your job.
I'm Mr. Familiar and I know how to push the ball over the goal line, to use a football metaphor, because there was a big football game that day, as I remember. True. So I like that you're having these great experiences with other guys who are different than me and it's a treat and I want you to have treats. But just knowing I have this job, which is when it's time for you to come, that's my job to step up.
Well, and you do it so well.
Thank you.
Because your cock is my perfect cock. And so you stepped in. I said to you when you came over, I said, I've had 3 cocks in this pussy and I need to come. So you got in there. You did your job. It was fantastic. But it wasn't just an efficient done. You actually stayed with me for a long time and we were doing a bunch of different positions. And at one point I was lying back and you were kind of coming at me from under and the side with like one leg up over you and kind of a restful, like if you were pregnant, you could fuck like this position, you know? And I was holding your leg up and grinding on your leg and came very close to coming, which is not usual for me. So I was totally blissed out. And then I looked up and realized everyone else had stopped and they were all just sitting around watching us.
Yes, there was a bit of a cheering section of the bleachers.
Which was great. There were lots of lulls like that where people would be going hard and there'd be lots of bang, 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 banging. But then there would be a restful period where people would just kind of lie around or go get a drink or some chicken tacos that were in the crock pot in the kitchen and just watch and enjoy the show.
Right.
And I was the subject of the show later when I was on the massage table. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Dub Donate was doing her thing because she knows how to do that sensory, floggy, massagey kind of play really well, too.
And watching her do it was so hot. That was actually one of my biggest turn-ons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's great. Well, she's great with me. She's great with everyone. They're all great.
Everyone is great.
Yeah. Yeah. So that night when, you know, I feel generally so sleepy around 10 or 11 at night, I just kept on going right through to what time? 2:30?
Well, I think there was a lull in the action around midnight when it seemed like people might be kind of suggesting they were going to go to bed. And I was like, what? I'm not done yet. So I kind of begged my way into more play and said, can I get a massage?
Right.
I'm just going to go lie on this table. Anybody can do anything to me. Because I really was not willing to give up the evening at midnight. Right.
And I love when I see you like that too.
So great.
Because you're not in helpful mode, which is such a big part of who you are. But I like seeing you being a bit greedy in a sexual situation.
Mm-hmm. And that night, there were no drugs involved and only like one cocktail, one glass of wine.
Right.
So I was totally sober that night. Right. And I just wanted to be touched and keep the fun going. So I lay down. She gave me a massage. And then she brought out some implements where she was spanking me and that Wartenberg wheel thing. And the former lesbian, she came over and was massaging my neck and shoulders. And so I was able to reach up over my head and touch her legs and her ass and her pussy, and that was really sexy. And she was kind of breathing in my ear. And then someone put their finger in my ass. And I'm like, is that my Liam? I wondered, but I wasn't sure.
It was.
It was, in fact.
Couldn't resist.
So you said that. What got you so turned on about that?
Oh, just seeing how we're calling her Mrs. Dub Donate was taking complete control of you on the massage table. And just, yeah. I loved everything about it.
She was spreading my cheeks and using the Wartenberg wheel right in my ass crack.
Fuck. Oh, I never even say fuck like that. Sorry.
Yes, you do.
It just slipped out. Yeah. That was a big turn on for me.
So you were watching from the door with the other people until you saw her doing that, and then you had to come and stick a finger in my ass?
Yeah. There's more elegant ways to put it, but that's basically what transpired.
Well, it was fun. And I think that sparked a third wave of sex to break out.
So we went to bed very late and very satisfied that night back at our Airbnb. So we got a little bit of sleep and then it was time to go back to the house for our finishing breakfast and just some more wonderful time. One of the things I didn't point out was that Skylar and Jason own two of my paintings that they have in their home.
Yes.
And so it was wonderful just discussing them with various guests who, you know, if they knew about my artwork, had certainly not seen it in situ like that in someone else's house. So that was a really lovely way of connecting too and part of the conversation that morning. But we had a great breakfast and then it was time to go. And so two by two, each couple just said their goodbyes and really reinforced that lovely feeling that had been enhanced in all of us over the course of just those 48 hours together.
Yeah.
So we're going to be right back in just a couple moments after this final message. I am so excited about an event that I am not even going to be a part of coming up in April.
As part of Sapio Tours, I am hosting a Women of the Lifestyle Wellness Weekend. April 25th to 28th, we are going to meet in a lovely modern mansion on the banks of the Potomac River in West Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. We are going to be facilitated by Catherine of Expansive Connection. So she's a relationship coach. She's going to lead us through some group coaching sessions. She's also a yoga instructor, so she is going to lead us through some yoga classes. I, as a writing teacher with many years' experience, am also going to be leading some creative writing sessions where you're going to do some reflective journaling type activities. And all of these things will allow us to access some of those inner parts of us that are afraid, that feel shame, that are not able to understand what our authentic desires are in this lifestyle, and allow us to share those things with other women who are on the same path, taking the same journey together. We'll have a chef who comes in to make healthy meals for us, and it's all going to be in a setting that feels a little like summer camp for women.
So if you're a woman who wants to be a part of this event, or if you're a man who's thinking this would be great for my partner, what's the next step?
They can go to sapiotours.com, read all about the event there, and sign up directly.
Great. Okay, now back to the podcast.
In addition to the two orgies we've described, if we go back another couple of months, we have had a lot of sex. So yes. The beginning of December was PCAP, and there were a couple of orgies there. New Year's was the next event. And then right after that, the beginning of January, we went to hedonism for a week. We came home, and then 2 weeks later, we were in Detroit doing this other orgy. And I have to admit, I'm kind of exhausted. And there is the potential that we might have had too much of a good thing. In fact, your son actually was getting a little upset with you being away so often. And he questioned, you know, are you letting this lifestyle take over your life in maybe an unhealthy way? So my first response is, of course, to be defensive and say, these are our friends. We love them. How else are we going to see them? But I wonder if it's worth talking about. Is it possible to have too much of a good thing?
Right. I think we have that a lot in the lifestyle, a kind of us against the world mentality. And it leads us to defend every aspect of every little thing that we do because we don't want to give even an inch to the forces of sex negativity that are obviously so prevalent in our world. But it doesn't mean that they might not have a point.
So what do you think? Do we have too much sex? Is there maybe too much of our life, both our time and our money, devoted to these events?
I don't know. I am thinking about it because, you know, last year, 2023, was an exhausting year for us. We did a lot of travel, and it was almost all lifestyle-centered travel, meaning sex-centered travel. And 2024 is going to be even more. So I guess I think of this as someone who's 62 years old, so I'm aware that I don't have an infinity of time left, and I want to spend my time well. Now, the thing I usually comfort myself with is the quality of the relationships we're finding with these people that we're having crazy orgies with is ludicrously high. I'm just comparing that to relationships at every stage of my life, as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, in the various spheres I've worked in or been involved in, like the art world and the academic world and the business world, and there is no comparison. So the results seem to be good, but it is very all-encompassing. And I guess that's my concern. I do want to preserve the breadth of my interest and involvement to have a character that is not dominated by any one thing, but brings together many different things?
I guess part of my thinking is now that my business and my financial life is entirely about sex, it's kind of important that I continue to do these trips because I have to continue to foster relationships with people in the lifestyle, to get to know new couples who might be willing to come on a trip with us. And then, you know, next week we're going to Florida again, and we're going to be meeting some people there who I've connected with online, and I'm going to be making some OnlyFans content with them. So, you know, a lot of this travel is not just purely for fun. It's also for business. And, you know, this is now my full-time job. So, of course, I'm going to have to travel to meet people. Of course, I'm going to have to travel to lead my trips. But it is a lot, and I am tired. And it's nice to have a few days where we're not packing or unpacking to go somewhere. I guess another thing I think about too is, would we be friends with these people if it wasn't for sex?
Right. That's a really interesting question because the answer kind of is no. Not because we bought them with sex or they bought us with sex, but because sex is the catalyst that brings us together with these people. There is no doubt we would not have met any of the people we connected with in the last busy, busy month if it wasn't for a shared sexual interest. But that led to further deepening of the relationship so that it wasn't just one-dimensional, but it was multidimensional.
And, you know, if your penis fell off tomorrow, mm-hmm. God forbid.
Which it may.
Would we continue to be friends with these people who we have met through sex, but if sex was taken off the table, then what?
Well, that's a really good question. Now, it so happens that just last night we had a couple over who we had a sexual connection with a long time ago, but that's mainly not part of it anymore. But we love them. They are among our very closest friends. And so the evidence in that little N of one experiment seems to be that, yes, the relationships do survive the end of the sexual enthusiasm that was there at the beginning. But I don't know. There are so many of these. I'd like to think that they would continue. Lots of these people I have phone conversations with. I have one coming up tomorrow. I had one yesterday. And
you're not talking about sex on these phone calls.
I'm talking about sex a little bit, but I'm also talking about life and all the other things.
Business. That,
yes. Yes, for sure. And so it feels to me like they would survive. But you know what you establish in a lifestyle? 10 relationships. And when you exit the lifestyle, or at least that kind of connection with them, maybe only 2 of the 10 stick around. Well, you're still 2 relationships up on where you were at the beginning. And in my experience, friendships of the quality that we're finding are very hard to find. So even if 8 fall by the wayside and 2 persist, I like those numbers.
I'd say that average could be applied to any setting where you meet people. So, you know, I retired from work. And since I retired 1.5 years ago, I have not seen any of those people outside of work. So people who I worked with for, you know, 20 some years, they are, you know, completely gone out of my life. So I think, you know, you have friends in places that are convenient. And when those settings change or the situations end, those friends fall by the wayside. And that will probably be the case with the lifestyle as well. But I feel now like these are good, solid connections with people who we have multifaceted relationships with. But also, can you have too much? Are we frantically, you know, trying to make up for lost time and, you know, fill every single moment we have free because, you know, we're going to die soon.
Well, I'm going to die soon. You got an extra 15 years beyond whatever I get. I think part of the concern, too, is there a danger that we're ruining sex? So everyone knows too much of a good thing tends to lessen the enjoyment of that good thing. So I was one of those kids who bought records and would just play them over and over and over until I didn't really like them anymore, or had to set them aside at least for a couple of years until I could come back with fresh ears. And I am aware that that is something that can happen with sex. Now, has it happened yet? Well, there are these multiple forces at work. So we mentioned getting older. I'm getting older, so I'm going to have less of an interest in sex. And we've been together longer, even though the 3-hour sex date has really revived our sexual interest. But that even is more in terms of quality than quantity, because in terms of quantity of sex, we're not having as much. So how do you feel about that in terms of all of that frantic activity that we're taking advantage of while it's there, perhaps diminishing our enjoyment of the thing that brought us to the lifestyle in the first place?
Well, this is one of those interesting things where the lifestyle kind of fills a gap that we are experiencing between us. Mm-hmm. So both of us have had less libido lately. You know, I'm going through perimenopause. You are going through some testosterone issues.
Yes.
So neither one of us have the same sex drive that we had 12 years ago when we got together. Mm-hmm. But I would say that you are at more of a deficit than I am as far as desire. So you want sex less than I do, even though I don't want tons, really. So this allows me to go out there when we have these opportunities and just be greedy for a night and you know, at Hedonism, I had three different times where I got to be the unicorn for another sexy couple. So I got to just be gluttonous that week and just go crazy and have all the sex I wanted to have. And you could chill and not have to worry that your low libido was holding me back from having my enjoyment of the sexual freedom that week. So we talked about this when we first got together, that as you get older and your desire diminishes, if I continue to have a higher libido, then there are opportunities for me to go outside the marriage and have that desire fulfilled. So I think that's happening a little bit. I don't think it's taking away from what we have together. I was worried about that when we were going through our conflict, that maybe all of our energy was being directed outward to the lifestyle. But I feel like since we have come back together emotionally, we are having really good quality sex when we do have it. And I'm not feeling the lack of connection with you that I was feeling back then. So I don't know. I don't feel like it's taking away from us, but I am exhausted.
Right. Yeah. And I should mention for people who may be concerned, who are listening, that I seem to have a very temporary testosterone deficit going on because for technical reasons, I was not able to get a hold of the medication that I used to use. But I am seeing a doctor soon. So there is a good chance that you're going to have to contend with a raging libido from me soon, if all goes according to plan. That's right. Probably something that we'll talk about on a future podcast, actually, because you're on much the same journey with your perimenopause issues and trying to resolve them through some kind of hormone replacement therapy as well.
This is a little bit of a tangent, but yes. So overall, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I do feel in my body that it is a lot. And I don't think it's the sex that's a lot, it's the travel. But obviously we're traveling for sex, so the two are connected. But mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's taking over our life in any kind of unhealthy way.
Okay. Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is I'm open to the idea that it might be. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we just keep our skeptical lenses on and look for indications that we aren't doing what's best for ourselves, but we've gotten carried away with something past the point where it's even helping. I don't think we're there now, but I think that if you and I take a look at that together and challenge each other, we will avoid making the kind of mistake that we would look back on with regret.
Do you think it is, I don't know, different in any way that we are having orgies versus going out on separate dates or having two-on-two things? Do you feel like the orgies take up more energy, more focus, more, you know, sexual time? Or would it be the same if it was sex in any combination of people?
Well, that's really a question for you, because my orgy experience looks very, very similar to my one-on-one sexual experience, because I don't, like you, flit about from person to person, like, as you like to say, a sexual butterfly. That's really the way you expend your energy in that situation. I'm really looking for one person I can connect with. And then there may be one after that and one after that, but it's very sequential and less multitasking like you do. So I think you're more inclined to exhaust yourself in that regard, at least relative to the one-on-one experience.
Yeah, I feel like the group sex is actually more efficient because you can make those connections with lots of people in one night. And if you were to individually connect or in couples connect with each of those people, it would take up a lot more time. So right. I like the group sex as far as its efficiency. So, you know, if every couple weeks we meet with five other couples, we're covering a lot of ground in a short amount of time.
So, I know. The question is, do you need to have new sexual connections with five people every month and then five the next month and five the next month? So if you do need to do it, an orgy is the most efficient way. But maybe you're just living life too abundantly.
That's very possible.
Yes. Okay. Well, there is no answer to this. It's not like we're going to tell you exactly what's the right balance of sex and other things in your life. But I like that we're having this conversation. And I think it's important for us because I'm ambitious for us to have an amazing life together. And hopefully that's helpful for other people too, to have their own conversation.
Okay. Well, that's about all the time we've got.
That's a long one. This was a long podcast.
Sorry, guys.
Or you're welcome, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
During this episode, we talked a lot about our travel business because we're so excited about it. But we want to take a moment to remind you that there are other individuals putting together lifestyle travel opportunities, ones that we have personally taken advantage of in the last 12 months. I'm talking about Room77Life.com, who runs their Isla Mujeres hotel takeovers. Casual swingers who put together unbelievable events every April at Hedonism. Naughty Jim, who put together the Be Better at Being Bad event, also at Hedonism. And Libertine Events, who put together Podcastapalooza, or PCAP, of which we've gone to every single one so far and thoroughly enjoyed them and met some of the best friends in our lives. So keep that in mind as you're considering your travel. If Sapio Tours doesn't work for you, there are other great opportunities available.
Go out there and meet all kinds of people and build your community. If you want to stay in touch between podcasts, you can follow us at The Monogamish Marriage on Instagram, at Monogamish One on Twitter, or you can email us at themonogamishmarriage@gmail.com. If you go to our Twitter or Instagram sites, there are also link trees in our bio where you can find our Patreon, our OnlyFans, and our individual Twitter and Instagram accounts. We would also love for you to like and subscribe to our podcast on whatever podcast platform you use. And if you have time, could you please leave us a positive review? We know that this is asking a lot, but it really does make a difference. Thanks so much. Bye.